Warning, parental advisory is recommended. Oh, shit, just listen.
I go by the name of Krampus, from the pyramids to Atlantis. Gonna blow your mind in the hippocampus. I'm a ninja praying mantis. I travel around the world, peeking in on all the boys and girls. I'm the king of fright to the naughty in the night. It really don't matter if you're black or white. Hee hee. I'm not Cobain with Saint Nick. He likes to treat, I like to trick. I may think he's nice, all sugar and spice, but to me, he's a total prick. Yo, Krampus, unwrap this. Yo, Krampus, just tap this. Ding dong, yo, it's Krampus. And boomy downloading your Krampus. You better quake with fear, cause the king is here. Now bend over, I'm about to smack this. It's a switch, it ain't no broom. And you gotta know the difference when you're black and I got a basket of painted flag. Shove you in and take you back to my castle in the sky. No, I'm kidding, that lies hot as hell and you're strapped to a rack. Yo, Krampus, just tap this. Yo, Krampus, just slap this. I knocked that elf right off that shelf. I just really couldn't help myself. Trust that snitch, gonna make it my bitch, and he saw you touch yourself. I know you're naughty. I know you're naughty. I know you're naughty, and that's nice. But in the end, you gotta pay the price. Call the police and the vice. Gonna put your soul on ice, ice, baby. Ding, 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 ding. Ding, 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 ding. No, see, it's different, cause it's ding, 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 ding. Instead of ding, 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 ding. Different.
The demon we love best, K-R-A-M-P-U-S. Go Krampus in your pampas. Go Krampus in your pampas.
I'm just an ordinary man with some bling and a spray on tan. But if you take a chance, look inside my pants. I'm good on a catamaran.
Yo Krampus, just smack this. Yo Krampus with a cactus.
I'm the purgatory home invader. Rotten children, OG hater. Christian Slater, calcinator. Like my homie, Darth Vader.
There's also philosophical calcination, which is said to occur when horns or hooves, etc., were hung over boiling water or other liquors until they had lost their mucilage and were easily reducible into powder.
Instigator, operator, naughty children motivator, pushing the parabolator to the broken elevator. Goody goody choo choo hater, punish all the masturbators, turn the tots into a tater, little kitty masticator.
But I'm misunderstood. Perhaps, my friends, you will see. If you look inside my heart, it's just your inner child I long to.
You just listened to Yo Krampus Unwrap This, courtesy of the Nocturnal Zoo YouTube channel. You should check out the music video. And welcome to Murky Chronicles number 26, Krampus. I am Zyphala, the Butcher Dobashi.
And I am Gorgeous Kenny Roberts.
Well, yes, you are. What's up, brother?
Not much. How you doing, man?
Good.
Christmas Eve.
Yes, same to you. And hey, I hope you didn't do, did you get all your Christmas shopping done?
Well, yeah, barely.
No, I hear you. Hey, well, real quick, how was your wifey's birthday? What did you guys do? Did you guys have fun?
Oh, we had a good time. It was good. It was good. I won't share with you, but it was a good time.
Oh, okay. Well, do you want to re-sing happy birthday to her since you were kind of drowned out last time?
Nope, I'm good. Are you sure? We sang it enough times.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Oh, man. So what's up, my brother? Shoot, I'm kind of in a daze right now.
I know, man. It's holiday season, man. You know, just running fast and trying to get things done, man. And yeah, I'm ready for it. How about you?
Man, I try to run a couple errands, and it was just so packed. And I had to go to the pharmacy and stuff. So I told myself, if you want your haircut, you better leave now, because I don't want to drive later. Because you know, in Tacoma around the mall area and all that, man, it's so congested, especially this time of year. I was just going bonkers.
Man. So you guys aren't having any issues with being shut down or anything?
No, but I think it'd be a lot smoother. And you know me, I don't like controversial outside of the wrestling ring, but I'm for do what you want to do, but I hate mandates. Right. I hate mandates, and I won't wear a mask nowhere. And not one place ever said anything to me, and I'm really nice. And I don't mind calling out this restaurant, Montezuma's. It was my favorite. So me and my son, about a month back, tried to go in, and lady wasn't very nice and how she talked to me. And I just looked at her, and I was like, really? I said, okay. And I was nice, and I walked out, and I was in this Facebook group, and it's for Washington. And we all support businesses that don't enforce mandates, you know? And I wrote in there about what happened. And I swear about 100 people said the same thing from Montezuma, saying they were the reception was really rude and they left and they'll never go back again. So they lost a lot of business, but every time I drive by there, they're always packed. But real quick, I got a funny story real quick. I don't want to talk about mandates. I don't know if I told you this story. So I was at a department or a store. Oh, okay. I was at Walmart, right? Lady comes up to me and she's like, well, you're not wearing a mask. Okay. She goes, well, are you vaccinated? And I just looked at her. And when me and my sister and Jeff went to this seminar at this church about how these mandates were not unconstitutional and stuff.
Right.
And they told us, when people ask you personal questions like that, it's none of their business, you know, HIPAA laws, and it's medical, right? So I stared right at this lady and I go, she asked me if I was vaccinated because I wasn't masked. And I looked at her, I said, so what's your sexual orientation? And she's like, what do you mean? I said, well, it's none of your business if I'm vaccinated or not. And it's none of my business if what's your sexual orientation. So what is it? And she just looked at me and she turned real red. And I just said, so I take it you're vaccinated because you're masked. And she walked off. I thought it was funny. I just laughed it off. Yeah. But anyways, so, you know, it is what it is. I don't like controversy. I go into the gym, I go into the supermarkets, no one says a word to me, and I'm really nice, and I think people are just getting tired of it.
Yeah.
But anyways, how about over there?
There's a few spots in town that require you to wear a mask, but otherwise there's no mask mandates or nothing like that here.
Right. It's just, come on, it's common, just, you know, whatever. But anyways.
You go to the hospitals and all that stuff, you still have to wear a mask, but. Or, you know, doctor's offices, they require it. Whatever,
yeah. Anyways.
All right, let's get past this. Well, you know, Christmas Eve, it's Krampus time, huh?
Krampus. Well, I know you watch, Krampus 2 and on FX, I taped Krampus, and I was all excited, right, to watch it. So before I watched it, I'm kind of OCD about clearing stuff that I'm not going to watch or I already watched on my DVR. And so I cleared all this stuff, and I was getting ready to watch Krampus yesterday afternoon. and I deleted it on accident. I was pissed. I was like,
I tell you what, you didn't miss much on Krampus 2.
Really?
I made it about, yeah, 2/3 through it, and I was like, I can't do no more. This is really, it was poorly produced, poor acting, poor. It was lower than a B movie. Wow. You know, it was almost something you just could have done out of your backyard with all your friends and could have done just as good a job. You know, nothing against your friends and doing it out of your backyard, but it just,
right.
It was just, you know, for a sequel, I thought it would be a little better.
I even try to, you know, look it up and it's like, you had to pay for it. And I was like, you know what? Forget it. I was like, well, maybe Gorgeous Kenny will watch it, but you watch Krampus too, but I guess it is what it is. We don't even have to review it, do we?
No, we don't have to review it. I wouldn't recommend it, but if you do want to watch Krampus too, it is free on YouTube. And if one is anything like two, don't waste your money in renting the first one. Hope to see it free on TV.
Nice, nice. Well, you know, Krampus, whose name is derived from German word, from the German word Krampen, meaning claw, is said to be the son of Hel of Norse in mythology. The legendary beast also shared characteristics with other scary demonic creatures in Greek mythology, including satyrs, and fauns. And so Krampus was created as a counterpart to, Saint Nicholas, who rewarded children's sweets and in contrast, Krampus would swat wicked children and take them the way to their lair. And I know a lot of children that needs to get swatted and be taken to a lair, you know?
You know what? I mean, if Santa Claus was more like that, or there was like a truly, you know, the consequences for being bad,
right?
Kids would be more good. Not, instead of just convincing kids to be good so they can get a present, you know?
Right, right. Well, according to the folklore, Krampus who showed up in towns the night before December 6th, known as Krampus Snatch, or Krampus Night. December 6th also happens to be Nick Olegstag.
I love it.
I know you do. And I had it all phonetically spelled out, but I don't know. Or it's called St. Nicholas Day. When German children look outside their door to see if the shoe or boot they had left out the night before contains either presents, a reward for good behavior, or a rod for bad behavior. And I guess the origins of Krampus at Mordsger Pass in Salzburg, Austria. The history of Krampus figure has been theorized as stretching back to pre-Christian traditions. In a brief article discussing the figure, and it was published in 1958 by Maurice Bruce, and he wrote, this is what he wrote. There seems to be a doubt as to his true identity, for in no other form is the full regula of the horned goat of the witches, so we preserve. The birch, apart from the phallic significance, may have a... What's that?
What's that word?
Phallic significance.
Okay. What's that mean?
Well, let me finish.
I've never seen that word.
Well, it was from... So, well, it means... okay,
Let me break it down. The birch. The birch.
Go ahead,
no, no, I'll break it for you. I'll smarten you up.
No, dummy it up for me a little bit, so
all right.
I can understand.
Apart from the phallic significance, in other words, apart from the significance, may have a connection with the initiation rites of certain witch covens rites, which entitled binding and sorcering as a form of mock death. The chains could have been introduced in a Christian attempt to blind the devil, but again, they could be remnant of a pagan initiation rite.
Okay.
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 Okay, Momo. I don't know.
That's new things out.
I guess. I want to know what people are going to do with the rod. What is the rod? I got to dig deeper about the rod. So you put out a boot, which that kind of similar to the stocking on the chimney, right? On the mantle. So they put a boot outside, hopefully get goodies. So if not, there's a rod. So what are you supposed to do with the rod? Is that like a oil checker or something?
Yeah, I don't know. Oil checker.
Yeah, then you lick the rod to see if they're a vegan or not.
Oh my goodness. Here we go. So was that some of your factoids? I've got seven things you need to know about Krampus.
Well, I want to know. I was just giving the brief history. But I want to know seven things about Krampus. As a matter of fact, after you give your seven things about Krampus, and if I think they're good seven things, I got a little Christmas gift for you to give right here on the air.
All right, man. So here we go. Number one. Well, no, I'm gonna start from seven. Seven to one. Well, I usually think it should be kind of backwards.
Okay. Well, you know, or 88 is my favorite number, so I don't know why you didn't go to eight.
All right. So number one is, I'm just going to go with one.
Well, I thought you were going to go backwards.
I lied.
Well.
So Krampus is not human. So Krampus is known to be a creature half goat, half demon.
Okay.
He's hairy, usually black or brown, has goat horns, forked tongue, vicious sharp fangs, and vicious, let's see, what else? I don't have my glasses on. Cloven hooves, although sometimes pictured with one hoof and one human foot. So that sounds a little creepy, huh? One hoof and one human foot.
Does he walk on hind legs or on all fours?
Sounds like a gal I dated back in the 80s.
Last name start with an L?
Maybe. Number two, Krampus keeps children in line. Krampus is straight up going to whoop your ass if you've been naughty. Literally, and with a bundle of sticks. So that's number two. I'm not going to go into the beating and the weird sack basket and all that other good stuff that comes with it. So we're moving on to three. Krampus has weapons.
What kind of weapons?
Krampus doesn't rely on strength of his goat horns or typical scare tactics alone. Nope, this demon is packing. Krampus is known to roam around town armed with chains, whips, and bundles, birch sticks, and he uses to beat the children. What do you think about that?
I like it.
Number four, Krampus has his own holiday.
What is that?
Because, of course, he does. Are you going to tell him he can't have one? I thought so. So while the fiends of St. Nicholas...
that sounded like some bad B-rated acting, but go ahead.
So while the Feast of St. Nicholas occurs annually, on the 6th of December, Krampus totally steals St. Nick's thunder the night before on the 5th of December, formerly known as I'm not even going to try and say it because you've already tried.
Wait, I'm confused. So
Krampus Knot.
Right. Okay. So he does that on December 6th, right?
Well, the 5th.
But how is that a night before Santa Claus?
No, St. Nicholas. No, the Feast of St. Nicholas.
Oh,
so there
okay.
There must be another.
Gotcha. Yep. Okay.
Gotcha. So now that you cut me off, I'm jumping over to number 5. How rude. Krampus and St. Nick are actually buddies.
Wait, I don't mean to interrupt. Wait, real quick. I don't want to interrupt you. I thought St. Nick was Santa Claus.
I don't know.
Or is St. Nick something different?
You tell me.
Okay, go ahead. Okay, so they're friends.
So, or maybe should have said they're business partners. It's not unusual to see Krampus and St. Nicholas out on the town together. St. Nick bringing joy, Krampus bringing crippling fear and pain. What's your thoughts on that?
So how are they working together?
St. Nick rewards the good children while Krampus handles the ones who bully other children at recess.
So they're on the same side.
Right.
Okay, gotcha. Like bad cop.
Like good cop, bad cop.
Okay. I like that. I wish there was more Krampus.
Yep, it says Krampus is a lush.
Likes the drink?
Well, let me get to it. To the surprise of no one, am I right? When Krampus comes knocking on the 5th of December, it's customary to appease him with schnapps, his booze of choice. So he likes schnapps.
Okay.
Peach schnapps.
Okay.
Well, I don't know about peach. I just added that. So number 7, Krampus is not alone. If you think Krampus is the only Christmas demon out there, you've probably been hiding in your gingerbread house for too long. Turns out there's a world of terrifying holiday figures just waiting to beat you into obedience.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, and doing some homework, remember we talked about how there's a lot of other demons out there in different cultures.
Yeah.
For keep your kids straight. So that's my 7, man. That's it.
Well, Santa Claus is kind of a pussy.
Santa Claus is a good cop. He comes in and just does his thing. He's got a lot of traveling, man.
No.
But there's a lot of bad kids these days, so I mean, he's probably only doing half.
Yeah,
half
that's
the
true. That's true.
Well, I know you think the world's flat, so he's only doing half the flat.
Who said I said the world's flat?
I'm just joking, man. Or am I?
What you talking about? What you talking about?
What you talking about, Kenny? speaking of this,
what you talking about?
They did a live show of Facts of Life, and
what?
Yeah, and Different Strokes on TV.
Yeah.
You know, they redid the episode, and Blair was played by Jennifer Aniston. Guess who played Arnold? What? Guess who played Arnold in Different Strokes?
Was it Kevin Hart?
Yes.
Was it really?
It was awesome, dude.
Oh, my goodness.
He was in it. Snoop Dogg was even in it as Willis's friend. Oh, Damon Wayans played Willis.
Oh, man. What was this?
It was Wednesday night.
Oh, man. I didn't see that. I'll have to see. Yeah. It was on YouTube or something.
Yeah. The Facts of Life was okay. You know, it was all right. But the Different Strokes was funny because Kevin Hart cracked me up, man. I mean, and they had Snoop Dogg as Willis's friend. But the lady that played Mrs. Garrett, you know, Mrs. Garrett was in Different Strokes and Facts of Life. Whoever played her spot on with her voice and everything. After you watch it for like 15 minutes, you thought she was the real Mrs. Garrett.
Wow.
Yeah, it was funny. Kevin Hart. I don't know if you remember the episode when Arnold was flying around in his cape and stuff and it's been like they replayed one of the iconic episodes. It was pretty funny, but yeah.
That's cool. Nah, dude, I don't remember any of them.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
Well,
does that earn a prize? Do I get a present for my seven?
Yes. Matter of fact, this is a thoughtful gift from me.
What?
This is my Christmas present for you, to you. From all me. Right, go ahead. You ready?
I'm ready. Well, hold up. Well, I got you something, too.
Okay.
I got you what I got you last year.
Nothing?
Exactly.
I always like nothing. I like nothing because I like nothing.
Nothing. Okay, go ahead.
Because if she's vegan and swallows, is she a vegan?
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. All right.
So tell me about this amazing gift.
All right. This is my Christmas gift to you. My top 10 Christmas one-liners.
Oh, no. Can you do it in song, or are you going to speak them out?
What? I'm going to speak them out.
Okay, come on. Sing them to me.
You ready?
All right, go ahead.
What do three hoes get you?
What's that?
One very jolly Santa.
Ooh.
Okay. Why did Santa divorce Mrs. Claus?
Why?
He was obsessed with getting the cookies. Number 8. What did Santa sing when he went down the chimney?
What?
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Oh, man.
All right, number 7. Why did the Grinch hit up the liquor store?
Why is that?
He was desperate for some holiday spirit. Okay, number 6. Why did the snowman want a divorce?
I don't know. Why did the snowman want a divorce?
Because his wife was a total flake. Okay, here's, all right, number 5. What's the difference between Tiger Woods and Santa?
I don't know. What's the difference between Tiger Woods and Santa?
Santa was smart enough to stop at 3 hoes.
Oh, man.
Okay, wait, number 4. It gets better, brother. What's the difference between a Christmas tree and Santa?
I don't know. What's the difference between a Christmas tree and Santa?
A Christmas tree stays up for 12 nights, has cute balls, and looks good with the lights on.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, number 3. You ready?
Go ahead.
Why does Santa always come through the chimney?
Oh, no. Why does Santa always come through the chimney?
Because he knows better than try the back door.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. Number 2. Why? Oh, you're going to love these last two. Why was the snowman smiling?
I don't know. Why was the snowman smiling?
He could see the snowblower coming down the street. All right. Number 1. This is the top. This is the top joke. Ready?
Okay.
Okay.
I'm ready.
What do snowmen use to make snow babies?
I don't know. What do snowmen use to make snow babies?
Snowballs. No, wait. I messed it up. Let me do that over again. It's not snowballs. Okay. Let me do that over again. What does snowmen use to make snow babies?
I don't know. What do snowmen use to make snow babies?
Yeah, do you know?
No.
It's not snowballs. It's...
these nuts. Got him. Got him.
Ho, 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 ho. Yes, sir.
These nuts.
These nuts.
You didn't think that was funny?
No, the third one was the best.
Which one?
The one 3 ago. I forget now. The snowblower one was good, too.
Yeah, I said snowballs, and I changed it up. I said that was the actual punchline. Then I was like, you know what? I'm going to add these nuts. So I added this.
These nuts? Got him!
Okay, well, I'm going to have to give credit on the poor joke I gave you about what I bought you for Christmas these last nuts? Year. That's from National Lampoon's Vacation.
Oh, okay.
Christmas Vacation, where the old man says, oh, he told that exact line, and you fell for it just like Chevy Chase did.
Oh, well, yeah. I actually got something else for you, though.
All right. What do you got?
These nuts.
Are they dry roasted or are they salted?
These nuts.
What you talking about?
These nuts.
What you talking about?
These nuts.
What you talking about?
These nuts.
What you talking about? Oh, oh, oh.
I'm getting pretty good at this stuff.
Hoo-yah!
Man.
Ready? Watch this.
These nuts.
What you talking about?
These nuts.
What you talking about? Hoo-yah!
My goodness. I need my own noisemakers.
Yes, you do.
These nuts.
2022. I can dare to dream and have my own.
Well, shoot, man. What else you got? Well, or should we just should we cut this a little short? It's Christmas Eve. We got to do what we got to do. I know you got some last minute Christmas shopping. I got to. Oop, I hit the sound effect. I got to scratch these.
These nuts.
I got to scratch.
These nuts.
I got to scratch.
These nuts.
What are you going to scratch?
These nuts.
Oh, my goodness.
Hoo-yah!
So where we go from here, Kenny?
I think we need to just go ahead and move on to our shout-out.
These nuts.
Hoo-yah!
All right, sounds good to me.
These nuts.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead, go first, because I got a scratch.
All right,
these
man.
Nuts.
All right, I'm going to do a shout-out to these.
These nuts.
These nuts. No, I'm going to shout out to Micah over at Savage and Views. What's up, Micah?
What's up, Micah?
These nuts.
Shout out to... Oh, my goodness. Shout out to Vince over at Emerald Street Kennels. What's up?
These nuts.
And a shout out to Lyrical Spit.
These nuts.
Without Lyrical Spit, there'd be no Murky Chronicles.
Oh, thank you, brother.
That's it for me.
All right. I want to give a shout out to
these nuts.
And not only a shout out to
these nuts,
I want to give a shout out to all of them. I want to give a shout out to Bess, the best catchphrase in all of poetry. Sweet and low apostrophe, sweet and low apostrophe for the best tagline. Their stitching is bitching.
These nuts.
Also,
thank you,
yeah, no problem. I've been in a shop and watched him do his stitching bitching, and man, he was so good. He was so fast. I slipped on the floor and he almost stitched
these nuts.
So I want to give a shout out to Pahu Rojo and Jay Linderman and to their
these nuts
hosts of Tales from the Abyss, a great podcast. I'll be joining them once a month on their show to help produce the show. I'm going to give a shout out to
these nuts,
Lyrical Spit, and Daily Spit. You can get all the show leaks at Murky Chronicles and Lyrical Spit. You can get all the show leaks along with Murky Chronicles and
these nuts
at lyricalspit.com. Our 24-hour hotline, 360-200-8779. Leave a message and you may just hear yourself on the show. And
these nuts.
Oh, yes. And check me out on TikTok, and let's see what will go viral. And you can find me at Lyrical Spit Debashi. And when I be watching them, I be scratching
these nuts.
And I'm excited to see what Murky Chronicles will bring to the new year. Shoot, we got one more show, right? Before the new year, right, Gordis Kenny?
Yep. One more show, brother.
Yeah. Well, I'm having too much fun with this.
These nuts. Got him.
So, you know, I don't know where to go from here. I guess we'll be right back after the commercial break. We have courtesy of Tailmaster YouTube channel. And believe me, I'm not buzzed. I wasn't drinking no eggnog or nothing like that. But this show is titled...
These nuts.
No, it's not. This show is titled... Three Krampus. This show is titled Three Krampus Horror Stories to Blacken Your Christmas.
Krampus Oral Stories?
This title, Three Krampus Horror Stories to Blacken Your Christmas. Horror Stories. Ooh. Krampus gotcha. Sightings and Other Creepy Tales. So, anything else, Gorgeous Kenny?
Want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas.
Yes.
Thank you for listening.
Merry Christmas. Thanks for listening. Hashtag save our children. Epstein and McAfee didn't kill themselves. And you already know if she has an apple, she has a banana.
Whoa. Fuck the break.
Yes, sir.
What's that?
I heard they can get rid of the apple. Then what?
Well, they still have a banana.
But how do you know if the apple's gone?
How do I know if the apple's gone? Is it a joke?
It's legit. I've heard they can get rid of the Adam's apple.
Well, they still have a banana. And the banana...
How would we know? How would they know if they have a banana? You look for the apple first, right?
Well, I guess...
Before you look at the...
Well, okay, this is how you could tell if they have a banana. So they don't have an apple. And
yep.
if you go down and try to get the plum or the peach, well, and there's no plum or peach and or fish, and there's a banana, then you know there's a banana.
But before you go for the banana, before you get that far, how do you know? If there's no apple.
Because you'll see it or feel it.
That's say before you get that far. That's what I'm saying.
Well, so if you're like making out and next thing you know, you say,
I'm saying before you even get that far. But if you even get that far.
Well, if you get that far and you look down and say, is that a flashlight in your pocket or is that a banana?
No, but what if I'm talking about just more of a binocular pat down. You're just looking. You see something you might like. You don't see an apple. Where's the red flag until you get to that point?
Well, I'll tell you this. If there end up being a banana, they won't be having a banana anymore.
Gotcha.
It'll sound like this.
Ho, 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 ho.
That's what it sound like.
Right on. Merry Christmas.
All right. Ho, 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 ho. Merry ho, Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho.
Yes, sir.
Gather round, friends. Come to me and listen to some scary Krampus story. Though some religious people may object, what would Christmas be without that horned antithesis to Santa? I don't know. Don't ask me. Don't ask a vampire these deep, abiding questions. Yes, friends, regardless of where Krampus came from, or his origins, or the inner machinations of his maddened mind, I present to you these scary stories about the bastard. Oh, friend, depending on whether or not you have children, and whether or not you've been a good parent, and whether or not you do believe there is additional discipline owed your children, in spite of your own or in replacement of. That brings up the question, of course, is Krampus only for children? Or is he for adults? And if the second, is he for adults to discipline them, or to merely haunt their dreams in things like scary stories? Ponder these questions, my good friends, as I regale you with tonight's first story. My Grandfather's World War II Christmas Story by So Lonely 200. My grandfather, aged 98, served in the British military from 1940 to 1948. He has several medals in his time from service. It also goes without saying he has quite a few stories to tell. He has stories of being a POW to the Germans, storming forts, and, according to him, disemboweling a man with a garden trowel. Even in his old age, he still can recollect them clearly. His most interesting story, however, is from December of 1944. He had escaped a German POW camp where he was placed in while they prepared a transferal to a concentration camp. It was during his time on the run he came to a small German town. The people, who were no fans of Adolf, hid him from the Gestapo. However, there would be no need. The following is the story, as written in his journal.
I believe the date was December 5th or 6th. The people hid me from Hitler's men, but seemed fearful to walk the street on this night. The children were excited for the coming of St. Nicholas, I gathered. Hitler had tried to scrub away any religious influence on the holiday, but in small villages such as this, the people did not adhere to all the Führer's guidelines. I was hidden away with a family of four, two children, a mother and her father. The father of the children was conscripted to Hitler's army, the Wehrmacht. The children were about 9 or 10, if I had to guess. I didn't see them that much, as I was beneath the floor, with a small window as my only company on that moonlit night as it shone through the glass. I heard the mother speak with who I can only presume was the SS looking for me. They barked something in German, and then the air went silent. I heard one of the lesser Nazis say, and this is a rough translation as I don't know much of the German, "Commander, we must be going." His voice seemed almost frightened. I heard sleigh bells at that moment, and noticed the Nazi voices get even more panicked in tone. The door shut then, and the children were placed in the cellar. I assumed that I was in the cellar, with me. I looked across the road, out of the only window in the place, and saw a silhouette in the night. The figure appeared to wear a cloak and a set of goat horns. This would be strange enough, but it was also on top of a home. I heard screaming from above me, the scream of the mother and the Nazis. There was a crash, and I felt a chill in the air. I silenced the children as best I could, who at this point were understandably frightened. There were gunshots, then more silence. I expected to hear the barking of the Gestapo, but instead I heard heavy steps, like hooves, but far too large. Chains seemed to be scraping the floor above the children and I. The door to the hidden area swung open at that moment. The son, I believe his name was Klaus, let out a shriek, and suddenly was snatched up through the floorboards. Same with the little girl. I wasn't going to sit by and let this happen. I rose from my hiding place, shaken but undeterred. The bodies of the mother and the Gestapo and her father lay gutted and strewn about. the gore on the being's horns named it the culprit. It was putting the daughter in the large sack on its back, where I could see movement from what I could only assume was other children. It wore many furs and chains. It had a hunched disposition. I yelled at the cloaked figure. It turned, standing upright from its hunched position. It stood easily 9 or so feet tall. It had the body of a man, with large, sharp, knife-like fingers. The horns were a part of its person, growing from its goat-like head. It smiled at me with crooked, rotten teeth. Its eyes were also very much goat-like. Among its many chains were sleigh bells jingling as it moved, the source of the bells earlier. I moved to grab the pistol from the dead Gestapo's hand and fired it. The creature didn't move. It hardly seemed fazed. It let out a cackle and left the home. Why had it not killed me? I ran after it and saw many other homes in the village were similarly ransacked. Bodies were strewn about, and their fireplaces were seemingly demolished. It threw its large bag onto the sleigh, pulled by 9 hellish goats. The sleigh itself was adorned with many furs and additional chains. Human faces in anguish were also visible, though I can't be sure if they were actual faces or merely representations. I heard the cries of the children, and it gave me one more grin. It said to me simply, "Fröhliche Krampusnacht." It whipped the goats, and they ran off into the night. That night I would hear many screams in the distance. I noticed the children remaining in the village 2 mornings later. I noticed the children remaining in the village 2 mornings later were greeted with a great deal of gifts. I left after 2 days and continued to Allied territories, ducking Gestapo at every turn. Ever since I was a kid, he insisted that all his grandchildren and children stay at his home on December 5th. And he always made sure the fire burned hot. Well, friends, quite the story to kick things off, eh? I do love stories from England. Of course, I'm rather partial to that, being my country of origin. I mean, that story included 4 of the greatest things any story can contain. Britain, Christmas, the Nazis, and a monster. As I say, 4 of the easiest things to make your story great. Or get on the nerves of certain political establishments nowadays, I say. Good story nonetheless, though, eh? Especially as we make our march to Christmas. Or if you are listening on this darksome Christmas night. I do recommend that you listen to Krampus stories on Christmas Eve. Not just December 5th, but Christmas Eve. It's always too much Santa Claus, if you ask me. But we've just begun with this first story, so let us on to our second of the night. Up next is Jake Wick's memorable tale, A Krampus Carol. If there was anyone to be found on Santa's naughty list, it was surely Cindy's older sister, Maddie. Cindy was 8, and Maddie was 3 years more, and had never said a nice thing to Cindy in her life, or so it seemed. Cindy's my favorite, Cindy's so pretty, Cindy's this, Cindy's that. These were the words from Maddie's mother that rang in Maddie's head through every day of the year, but especially around Christmas time, when Cindy was talking sweetly of gift-giving and decorating and loving her family and friends. Cindy was sweet, but it was authentic. All she really wanted was to be loved by Maddie, the same way she herself loved Maddie. Since Cindy was a baby, Maddie hadn't liked her. Some of Cindy's earliest memories revolved around the constant sideways looks she would receive from Maddie. The passive aggression, the endless competitions for Mom's affection.
Cindy was always the one to receive it, but on certain days, she would ask her mother to pay Maddie some attention too. "Oh, your sister's fine," her mother would say. "Your sister gets plenty of attention." And after saying this, her mother would usually give Maddie a half-hearted pat on the head and then go right back to giving Cindy all the affection a child would ever need. It left a hollow place in Cindy, and when she tried to give Maddie the love she so desperately needed, Maddie would shun Cindy as if Cindy were a leper. Now this year, Maddie had been extra bitter. Perhaps it was the additional attention Cindy garnered for her performance in the school's Christmas play, or maybe it was the way Mom constantly bragged about Cindy's acting. "She's the next Meryl Streep, I'm telling you," Cindy's mother would brag. But whatever the reason, Maddie took every chance she saw to torment her younger sister. Cindy woke up one morning with gum in her hair. Another day, she found that her underwear was soaked in honey. Her favorite dolls would go missing. The TV in her room, which Maddie wasn't allowed to have, was constantly unplugged. Yet Cindy's desire for her sister's acceptance continued through the month of December. She continued to be kind. She persisted in giving Maddie compliments, even when her mother did not. The gift at the top of Maddie's Christmas list was a brand new makeup kit. Cindy made sure that she would be the one to give it to her Christmas morning. Despite all this, Cindy had felt a wear and tear from all Maddie's torments throughout the month, and it all came to a breaking point on Christmas Eve. The family sat at the Christmas Eve dinner table and ate ham and mashed potatoes and Christmas cookies. Cindy's mother had been bragging shamelessly all night long about Cindy's acting. There had been no mention of Maddie, not at any point. Maddie was stewing, and Cindy could see it. At one point, through all the bragging and praising and gloating, Maggie finally chimed in.
"I don't think Cindy's acting is that good," she said matter-of-factly.
It was as though a bomb had gone off in the room. Everyone looked at Maddie like they were unsure they'd heard correctly. It was like blasphemy.
"What kind of thing is that to say?"
asked Mother. Maddie shrugged.
"I don't know,"
Maddie said.
"I just think you're exaggerating a bit. I mean, she's decent."
All of the memories of Maddie's torments began to broil and fester in Cindy's mind, and now here was Maddie disparaging Cindy at the dinner table, in front of the entire family, in front of all the aunts and uncles and cousins and friends.
"At least I'm good at something,"
Cindy blurted. And just like that, Maddie retracted into a pit of shame, Cindy's words ringing true and humiliating. Mother only added fuel to the fire by shrugging at Maddie in a matter-of-fact manner.
"Your sister's got a point,"
said Mother. Cindy felt horrible as she watched Maddie sulk and trudge off toward the bathroom like a beaten dog. Cindy hated the power she held in her hands. That night, everyone hunkered down in their beds and waited for Santa to leave his gifts below the tree. But Cindy had trouble sleeping. It was midnight now. Cindy rarely found herself awake at this hour, but she knew why. Cindy removed her covers and hopped out of bed and tiptoed across the room. She was careful not to wake anyone. She opened her closet door and grabbed Maddie's wrapped gift. She tiptoed down the dark hallway and dragged her fingers along the wall so as not to stumble around in the dark.
"I'll give Maddie her gift and tell her I'm sorry and tell her I love her,"
Cindy thought to herself.
"That's what I'll do, and she'll be happy and she'll forgive me, and maybe she'll even say she loves me too."
When Cindy arrived outside Maddie's door, she heard strange shuffling noises coming from inside. Perhaps Maddie was preparing another prank for Cindy. No matter. Cindy was going to walk in and give Maddie her present and try and make amends. Cindy opened the door just a crack. She was careful not to startle Maddie. It was so dark inside the room that she couldn't see a thing, but she could hear a great deal of shuffling inside the room as before. Cindy stared into the room for quite some time, patiently waiting for her eyes to adjust to the gloom. When her eyes adjusted, she saw an empty bed. She saw Maddie's wide-open window. She saw a 7-foot figure standing in the shadows. She saw the rounded cage upon its back, and then she saw Maddie sitting in the cage like a frightened bird. As Cindy's terrified eyes further adjusted to the dark, she saw the figure more clearly. It had a goat's head with large horns on top. Its eyes were red and impish and hostile. It wore a suit much like Santa Claus, and even jingling sleigh bells hung from a few ends of the garment. Cindy stood frozen with fear as the creature glanced at her and gave her a nod and a wink. The creature made its way toward the window. As it did, the last Cindy saw of her sister was a look of fear and sadness and regret. And then the creature left as Cindy stood there with the present in her hands. Down the chimney he will come with his great big grin, and you'll find that even the kiddies are very liable to sin. What will Krampus say when he finds everybody sinning? What will Krampus say when he hears them sin, sin, sinning? I think it is safe to say, friends, that of all Krampus's evils, he does have a penchant for taking children. Perhaps Krampus is not alive, but the ghost of someone, something, or perhaps somebody. Perhaps he is the ghost of a certain Jeffrey. I shan't say the name, but I do believe, friends, on a serious note, that there are real living Krampuses in this life. In fact, I'll hazard a guess that Krampus is rather the fanciful imagining of someone who saw real-life Krampuses and gave them a more fanciful cast in a story. Whatever you believe, let us on to our next Krampus story. Up next, friends, is a chilling account of Krampus's other powers, not only those to steal naughty children. Here is one by Phil Owen, titled It Might Just Be the Devil Coming to Get Even. We have a saying here in the Austrian mountains, Wann's wirklich hin is, krampt's nimmer ham, tuat's doch, holt der Teufel sein Schulden. Which, roughly translated, means, if something is dead, it will never come home again. If it does, it might just be the devil coming to get even. My grandpa always closed his World War II stories with this little poem. As a child, I didn't think of it much, as I was more into the whole war aspect of his tales. He was a tank commander in the German army before the Nazis took over. I was always afraid that my grandpa was a Nazi, but he assured me that as soon as he had the chance, he ran off and left the Wehrmacht. When the war started, he got assigned to a little post in the mountain region of Slovenia, on the Austrian border side. His tank and three others should watch and protect the outpost against Slovenian freedom fighters. Grandpa tried to befriend the resistance, however, so they could get him out of the Nazi army. Months went by. The deepest and coldest winter came up, and Grandpa soon learned about the Austrian mythology of Krampus. I'm almost certain some of you have heard of that, mostly because of the movie or the interview with the Austrian actor Christoph Waltz. So I'm not going to get all too deep into this lore. Just imagine a bunch of German soldiers somewhere far from home, on some dark and lost mountain, unable to go back home and unable to push forward, as they have the enemy on both sides, freezing through the coldest of nights just to witness a Krampus walk. Around 50 to 60 villagers, all dressed as the devil himself, walking through the deep woods with a bunch of torches. No talking, No yelling, just the noise of hundreds of chains which they wore around their necks. Grandpa always changed when he talked about the Krampus Walk and how his men felt at this moment. Heavily armed soldiers sitting on some of the most massive tanks at the time, and they were all scared to their bones. One night, around that time, the Krampuslauf came to a halt. They surrounded the soldiers' camp while almost everyone was asleep, except for my grandpa. He took the chance, stepped in front of them, threw away his weapon, and tried to talk to them. To be honest, I was too young to remember what happened and how they finally ended up helping him get down from this godforsaken mountain and out of the Nazi army. But it was a few months later that he met my grandma, so surviving all of this brought him closer to heaven and redemption. All of this is also not the point of why I'm writing this subreddit. The point is, I'm not sure if he found heaven or redemption, because I'm afraid my grandpa did a pact with the devil. 2 weeks ago, he passed away, so I got to pick up some of his stuff and clean up the house. Grandpa lived a quiet life after my grandma died years before him, so all that was left was his bed, his books, and of course his rocking chair, in which he used to sit and tell me his war stories. I thought about keeping the rocking chair, and had dreamed about telling my grandkids my own stories one day in it. But after what I had witnessed just about 10 minutes ago, I am honestly willing to set it and the house on fire. If something is dead, it will never come home again. If it does, it might just be the devil coming to get even. These words, spoken by the rusty voice of my grandpa, flew through my head as I opened the living room door and saw the rocking chair slowly rocking back and forth. Moaning and screeching with every little move, the voice in my head got louder and louder, almost screaming at me. It might just be the devil. Had my grandpa done a deal with the devil to get off the mountain? Was all of this true? Has any one of you guys heard about something like this before? What am I supposed to do? As I am writing this, the chair kept rocking, and the voice in my head won't stop. I need help, please. And on that note, friends, before you need help like the person in our final story, I think it is time we end tonight these tales of Krampus and terrifying Christmas.
Thank you for downloading and listening, and please spread the word. Subscribe and follow Murky Chronicles on Spotify, Amazon, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and on most of your favorite podcast platforms. You can get all the show links at lyricalspit.com. Help keep this show free by buying some of our swag of apparel at butcherspit.com. We have t-shirts, hoodies, and even baby onesies. That's butcherspit.com.